Good afternoon, and welcome, welcome everybody in this warm afternoon. I am pleased to inform that the result of the second quarter 2018 or the first semester 2018 tell us that F.I.L.A. Group is going into the right track. Stefano De Rosa, our CFO, will tell us in detail all the numbers, but I would like more to highlight two or three major points, because 2018 we entered into important reorganizations, and I would like to point out where we are. I think all of you remember that in 2018 we started the transition to the SAP, which is a precondition to be successful in the following years. And in July, we just completed the transition of Germany, I would say in a very smooth way. And this will allow us to confirm that during the month of August, we will start implementing the central European warehouse. This is a key moment for us, because not only this will allow us to work in a much more efficient way, but we can confirm that the target we have shared in the last meetings concerning working capital will be maintained. And you will see from Stefano's presentation that we see the first sign of improving of the working of the group working capital. We have gone successfully into an acquisition in US market during the first 6 months of this year, and Stefano will tell us the first non-audited numbers of this company, but will give us the sense of how positive this project has been and how important will be in our future, because United States now represents more than 50% of our consolidated turnover and consolidated EBITDA, which means that thanks to this acquisition and the strong commitment of the management, I think we can say that our future in one of the most brilliant market in the world is definitely very, very positive. I would like also to share with all of you a number that has been, I would say, extremely positive also in my view, because for now the fifth consecutive year, India is showing us really a super performance. Stefano will give us the detail, but it's already five consecutive years that India is growing double digit, and now has become probably the number three market for F.I.L.A. Group. So I would like now to go to the session of Q&A to enter more in detail of the numbers, and of course to answer all your questions. Thanks.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Again, if you have a question, please press star one.
Sorry, maybe... Hello. Maybe I would like to just to spend some minutes before the Q&A section just to go through the number in order to give you just an high-level summary of the number in order that then we can plan the Q&A section in the right way. So I kindly ask to go. I kindly ask you to go to the presentation, page 4, just to have a look to the core business sales. And FILA Group closed the first half 2018 with 262 million of core business sales adjusted, compared to 260.5 million of first half 2017. The adjustments are referred to the IFRS 15 accounting principle first adoption, and the growth is equal to 1.4 million plus 0.6%. We have to analyze the growth, of course, also considering the FX effect, the M&A effect. The M&A effect is referred to the revenue to Pecon Group revenues for the month that we consolidated, because we number of Pecon in our consolidated financial statement started from 7 of June, June 7, so for 23 days only, and these revenue are equal to 16.3 million euro. The FX effect that we had in the first half 2018 are equal to negative 16.6 million, mainly referred to the USD area, where the USD was devaluated versus the euro approximately 12%. Then the other big part of this negative FX effect is referred to the Indian rupee, that also had a devaluation compared to euro equal to 12%. And the Mexican pesos that was evaluated compared to euro approximately 10%. These are the main reason of this negative 16.6% of FX effect. So consider these two effects, FX and M&A, the organic growth is equal to positive 1.8 million, that means 0.7 compared to the first half 2017. That means that we had a strong recovery compared to the first quarter 2018. The organic growth is mainly concentrated in Asia for 6.4 million. That means a growth of 20.7%, and India is 95%. The growth in Asia is mainly referred to India. Then the other part of the growth is concentrated in Central South America for 1.6 million. That is mainly referred to Chile and Brazil. And this growth is organic growth is partially offset by Europe for negative 5.6 million, mainly referred to Canson and FILA, so France and Italy. Compensated by a good domestic growth in UK and in some other countries where we have more subsidiaries as Poland, Greece, Russia. The growth was also offset by North America for 0.2 million, but if you remember the data in the first quarter, did mean a strong recovery in the North America area. By product line, the growth is totally concentrated in the fine art, hobby, and digital line, and for a minor amount in the industrial line. This growth is partially offset by the school office product line that decreased for 2.4 million. If you go to page 5, we can analyze the trend of the EBITDA. The EBITDA of the first half 2018 adjusted is equal to 44.6 million. That compares the value of 2017, that is equal to 33.8 million, means a total growth of 0.8 million plus 1.7%. The adjustment of the first half 2018 are equal to 10.1 million and are for the big part mainly refer to the M&A agile cost. I mean, the M&A consultancy and all the costs that we had for the Tecon acquisition. And the growth, of course, as we did for the revenue, must be analyzed also consider the FX effect and the M&A effect. For Tecon Group, the M&A effect is equal to 3.1 million, and the FX effect is equal to negative 1.9 million. These effects, as we have seen in the for the revenue, are mainly concentrated in the U.S., in the U.S. area, the Mexican area, and in the India area. So, considering these two effects, the organic growth is equal to negative. The growth is the organic trend is equal to negative 0.4%, 0.4 million. Sorry, that means 0.9%. That is still a decrease, but compare the data that we had in the first quarter that was equal to negative 3.5%. I think that we can see a strong recovery that we had in the second quarter. If we go to page 6, we can analyze the adjusted net income. The adjusted net income is equal to 16.1 million in first half 2018, compared to 17.6 million that we had in first half 2017. The decrease of the job net income is mainly referred to a bigger amount of amortization depreciation coming from Tecon Group, is referred for a bigger accrual of bad debt for 0.5 million, mainly in the U.S. area, and to a bigger amount of tax, but is mainly referred to the deferred tax because in 2017 we had a positive effect coming from the deferred tax due to a release that we have in France for a tax rate change. So consider all these effects. These effects explain why we have a decrease of adjusted net income compared to the previous year. If we go to the adjusted net financial position, the net financial position is equal to 612.7 million, showing a decrease compared to December equal to 373 million. This effect, of course, is mainly due to the negative M&A effect for 301.9 million. Part for 250 is due to the value of the participation, and for 87 million is due to the net financial position that we acquire from Tecon Group. For the remaining 71 million, the effect is due to mainly to the seasonality that we have in this period. In detail, we can explain the 71 million for 44.7 million to the operating cash flow that is negative in this period. Then we have a cash absorption for CapEx for 10.3 million, mainly in the India and the Mexican area, but also in Canton, France. Then we have a cash out for financial expenses for 11.5 million. This amount, of course, include the upfront one-off cost that we had for the financing, for the acquisition financing for 7 million. Then we had dividend pay for 3.8 million, and the negative FX effect is equal to 1.7 million. All these effects explain the 71 million that we have in addition to the M&A effect. The working capital, because it's one point where we are focused, is an improvement compared to the previous year, as you can see in page 9, in page 10. We had a better change in working capital compared to the previous year. We can say that we have a double effect. We have good collection, so less cash absorption coming from receivable, but this positive effect is a little compensated by an increase, bigger cash absorption coming from the increase of the change in inventories. Notwithstanding, also this considered this effect, the working capital is an improvement compared to the previous year. And also we can say that the ratio net working capital core business sales is some point better than the previous year. So I think that now we can open to the Q&A section.
Again, if you have a question, please press star one. The first question comes from Ali Brandi Daniele of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Daniele at Intermonte, and thanks you for taking my questions. You will not be surprised to know that my first question is on organic growth. And if I look at consensus and I strip out a -4, -5 FX headwind for the year, it seems to me that consensus is looking for full year sales at +5, +6 organic. Given that you are flattish in first half, I was wondering how confident you are to achieve a low double-digit organic or high single-digit in second half. That's my first question. My second question, once again, is on organic growth, and in particular regards the exit rate in June. We saw some nice pickup in Q2, but I guess there was an acceleration in June, so I was curious on July trends. I remember that you already expected to be strong during the last time conference call. So does June and July meet your initial expectations? That's my second question. And my last question is on Pacon integration and its financials. I saw 3 million EBITDA contribution for just 20 days of trading. So it is fair to assume Pacon on a standalone basis will end up the year with around, let's say, 30 million EBITDA contribution. So you could consolidate some 18-20 million in this group line. Thanks.
Massimo Candela. First of all, when you talk about organic growth, I think that your question, sorry to ask, was not completely specific. You are referring to turnover or you are referring to EBITDA? Because I think we need to be we need to differentiate a little bit. In other words, in terms of turnover, it is possible that our growth will be a little lower than expected because as we are in our reorganization process, we have two important effects that we have to consider. Last year, we started to clean a lot the top line with a rule that below a certain level of margin, we don't want to follow those sales. And second, we decided, we know that the central warehouse is extremely important to start our cross sales activity. So the, I would say, relative small delay of the central warehouse and the relative small delay of shutting down the plant in UK in April, in fact, has caused to us some losses in the top line of low margin sales that has only partially been recuperated by our ordinary activity. I think this is quite normal in a reorganization process, but clearly, let's say we have not yet substituted completely our core sales with the let's say sales that we did not consider last year. So there is a little bit of a swing of some months, and the contribution of the central warehouse, which is extremely important because until August, all the customer in Central Europe, so Central Europe means Europe excluding Italy and UK, will continue receiving product from four different legal entity and from four different warehouses, which cause a substantial inefficiency and no cross sales activity. So this is a little bit slowing down our top line. Different is the expectation on the EBITDA, because especially the second semester of last year, I'm not sure if you recall, we had a quite weak second semester, and you probably recall two major effects. One, a big problem in UK, in which we almost didn't ship for almost 6 weeks, and big services issues we had in United States with substantial penalties and substantial extra working hours. So, in fact, the profitability of our business and the fact that at the end of August the central warehouse will start put us in a situation in which we think that we can guarantee an organic growth of the EBITDA, so the profitability of our sales. That's why when I started this call, I said we are on the right track. Because, for example, the go live in Germany of SAP has been completely smooth. It means that our learning curve now is becoming flat. Also that we can confirm the departure of the central warehouse in France at the end of August. This will allow us to start saving a lot of double cost that we are facing today, having many warehouses open and overlapped. This make us more comfortable versus last year, especially the second semester, because our let's say operations finally working with much more efficiency. So I would keep distinguished the top line from the EBITDA. So a slower growth in the top line and a more important growth in EBITDA. I don't recall the second question, sorry.
The yes,
was on the FX exchange rate.
Can you answer, Stefano?
No, I have to answer. So we have, I think, for the first time, a quite strong FX effect on the margin. That was not usual for us. We are about more than 4% on the EBITDA. It is mainly due to a couple of things. First, that we have the three main currency over the 10% of the devaluation compared to the euro. In the first quarter, it was similar, but not for the Mexican peso, that was around 6%. And then we had, while in the first quarter, the USA margin was very low, because North America had a was in a backlog, I mean, and so the margin was very low. North America had a strong recovery in the second quarter, and so if you had the strong recovery in the margin, so I'm longer in the US dollar compared to the first quarter, and with also with all the three main currency, quite extraordinary effect altogether, this can explain these quite unusual, not huge, but quite unusual trend of FX effect that we have on the margin.
Oh, okay. Thanks for this, Stefano. But actually, my question was regarding the exit rate in June. And as you said in the last call, you were bullish. You had bullish expectations on July. So I was wondering if June and July meet your initial expectations as regard the organic growth end.
Okay. Let me. I remember you made two questions, one regarding June, July, and the other one regarding Paycon.
Exactly.
So let's start from Paycon. So as Stefano is involved, I think Stefano, you could tell the unaudited first 6 months of Paycon in terms of top line and EBITDA. So in order to give a sense of the performance of Paycon standalone.
Yes, we had as a revenue $125.9 million and has adjusted EBITDA $20.6 million for the 6 months.
Okay. Concerning June and July, I would say that worldwide, the situation in July is absolutely in line with June, with an exception of United States, but only because we have a swing related to a problem that we have with Walmart. And unfortunately, in this case, it has been their mistake. So they had a problem with their ERP system, so they have postponed some substantial, let's say, all the back to school orders that we are shipping these first days of August. So I mean, these first days mean today, yesterday. So you will see that except for United States, July is in line with August, and United States anyway, we expect the third quarter to be in line with the second quarter.
Okay. Thanks very much. And just a follow-up on Pacon. Do you think that Pacon can achieve around 30 million EBITDA in this year?
You, in what currency, excuse me?
In euro.
Sorry, let me calculate because in euro. Today, what is the exchange rate?
1.15 and something.
I think that is reasonable, this amount.
It's reasonable, okay.
I think they will do better than that.
Okay. Thanks very much and have a good summer break.
You too, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on Pacon, of course, but I just wanted to have your qualitative feeling of the business, how it is evolving, what are your expectations in terms of profitability, just to understand how is this company moving and why it actually is growing in such a good terms. This is my first question. My second one, so basically you back to organic top line growth, you are expecting some improvement in the second half versus the first half, probably linked to Europe that is still sluggish. I would like to better understand what is going on in this market and what are your expectations for the coming quarters. I saw financial expenses, if you could elaborate a little bit, normalize the financial expenses and report the financial expenses, just to better understand the breakdown of this cost, also related to the fact that cash costs were much higher. And finally, it's a technical question on tax rate. You reported a normalized tax rate of 34%. That seems to me quite high. I think with the consolidation of Pacon, you could benefit from a lower UX tax rate. If you can confirm us that you expect for the combined entity tax rate of around 28%. Sorry. Thank you.
Sandro, can I start from question number two? Because I think there is a misunderstanding. I want to clarify immediately. You said your question is, can you please explain why Europe is so weak? Europe is not weak at all. We are talking of at a legal entity level. We have canceled or lost, as you prefer, 4 million out of 5 of delay of sales with poor margins. And this, I take the responsibility of this, because this sales was made by the previous management in Canson, while for me, Camson now will be the paper production for the entire group. So why we have suffered a little bit temporary? Because if you recall, we are a very much integrated company. So whatever happened has a very clear explanation. As we have postponed the shutting down of the plant in UK, Camson has, from one side, canceled orders with low profitability. If you remember, I always said that, in the area of 4 million. And in the same time, has not started to produce for UK because UK has slowed down the final shutdown of the plant that has happened at the end of April 2018. So it's just a swing. Mm-hmm. But when I say we are in the right track, because now Canson has started to produce for UK, and I would say it's under stress, by the way, because as always, we have to run behind the request of the customers. So it's not Europe suffering, it's a legal entity that is suffering from lower sales that, generally speaking, are all in the Middle East of the world, Lebanon, Arabia, Iran, Iraq, those countries that in the past were buying at a very low price that for my parameter is not acceptable. So I prefer to clarify this.
We can
go to the other questions, because okay. If not, we think that it's a problem of Europe. Europe, we have a problem. We have a weak country that is Italy. But despite Italy, for us, is more or less stable, we have good information from JFK, which is an independent institution, that telling us that sell-out of our product in the modern trade is growing. So we expect between July, August, and September a good back-to-school. So we hope to see a positive number also for Italy. I would like to remember you that Italy now is at least 3 or 4 consecutive years that show reduction of rate of birth. So it's a problem that one day we will have to face. But again, we are talking of a top line that is stable, or anyway around the stability. In the other countries, we see a very nice trend. UK is doing extremely well. Germany, especially now that the transition of SAP has gone smooth, I think we can become positive. Even France domestic market is positive. That's why I wanted to take out from the table the concept that Europe is weak. It's not Europe. It's a legal entity that made a strategic decision to keep the volume for our internal needs and not supply unprofitable customers.
It's very, very clear. Thank you on this.
Can we go to the other questions?
Okay.
Ciao Ale, Stefano, and about the tax rate, it's a little misleading if you consider the reported data, because you have a lot of costs related to the M&A process that are more or less 8 million that are not deductible, that I think made the calculation with misleading. So I can confirm that I think to be lower to the 30%, as we already discussed, the tax rate lower than 30%. So I'm not far from what you said, and of course, Bacon will take a benefit in our tax rate because the USA area will grow. But so if you see the reported data are a little misleading for this amount of M&A costs that are not deductible. About the financial cost. We have in the P&L the effect of we have the interest. The interest are not far from the original estimation, because 1 month of over the 1 month of new loan didn't create a big increase compared the original estimation. We have other effects that are the one-off cost, the 7 million that of course that we pay, but they go on the P&L only partially because go through an amortized cost process. And then also we have the release of the all amortized amount of the all one-off that go in a one-off way for 1 million in the P&L when we close all the financing. So it's a little mix of effects. So the original amount of interest for June are not far from the original estimation, but there are the part of amortizing effect of the 7 million, the one-off cost that I paid to the bank for the new financing, and part of all the assets that is 1 million, more or less, a little more than 1 million that is due to the release of the amount that was suspended as amortized cost coming from the old financing.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star 1. The next question comes from Martorelli Giorgio of Amber Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have a couple of questions, if I may. The first one is an indication, if you can, about the cash flow generation you're expecting to deliver in the second half, and what could be the net working capital reduction to the year end. I don't know if you want to give us, if possible, a target or a qualitative indication of what would be the net financial position with or without Paycon. This is the first question. And the second question is if you can elaborate a bit more about what you found in terms of synergies on the commercial side, on the cost savings side in the U.S. market. Clearly, you cannot say much because there is a capital increase coming, but if you can help us to understand what the first few months of collaboration with the new management team gave you in terms of potential value creation from the deal. Thanks.
Thanks, Giorgio. I think, Massimo speaking, Stefano can give you the detail, but fortunately, we confirm 100% the indication we gave during the first call in May of the target of the cash generation this year, because fortunately the things are going in the expected direction. So I can anticipate to you, we confirm the target we already shared, and Stefano, can you please repeat, I would say, taking out Paycon from this analysis. Can you please repeat to Giorgio the information we gave, what we expected?
Yes, and Giorgio, as we already discussed, also coming from the previous year, we expect let's say an EBITDA cash conversion, so net from the working capital, not exactly, but near 100%, because we have all the release of the receivable that we didn't collect the previous year. In this moment, we are suffering a little from the inventory side, because as Massimo mentioned, with all the integration of the, and with some little delay that we have in the Hanone startup, in this moment we have the most level, let's say, of inefficiency from a cost side and from a working capital side, because in the moment that we are building all the inventory, and also the inventory is coming in Annonay and ready to be sold, but not sold in this moment. And also in the USA, the slowdown of sales create a little this wing of sales, slowdown of sales created an increase of inventory, but that we expect to reduce in the next month. So we confirm what we said, that this year we should generate more or less the cash conversion near 100%. With the ratio that we expect of net working capital for business sales, it should be near the 42% that we said. So we are not far, and we think not to be far to, from our target.
Okay, concerning PayCon, I think that let me give you some flavor. First of all, I think that it is extremely important for an Italian company that would like to think long term to have now more than 50% of its own business in United States. This is extremely important because in United States, both the stationery and fine art market have a positive organic growth. So it's very important to be there. And it's very important because the distribution is already efficient. You know, with few customers, you make all the turnover. The fact that we have become by far the leader in fine art, an important supplier in stationery, put us in a very comfortable position. The discussion we're having in this moment with customers make me extremely positive, because PayCon management is known for having integrated 14 plus acquisition, and unfortunately also Fila was known to be a positive aggregator, not anymore in United States after the problems we have created last year with the horrible service. So the market is reacting in a very positive way. Customers are happy, and we are already discussing important synergies already for 2019, not mentioning that PayCon is already on SAP, and the fact that the transition on SAP also for Dixon, managed by management that is currently working on SAP, is extremely important. Let me remember that Dixon is working in a very difficult situation. Our JD Edwards system has really big problems. It's also hard to find maintenance. So we have given full priority to the conversion to SAP, which will happen in January 2019 for Dixon. But frankly speaking, in my position, to see this management taking over the responsibility of the transition of Dixon into SAP, and the fact that while we are talking, we have already reorganized all the sales force, so already PayCon and Dixon have a sales force integrated. We have already created the three divisions. Clearly, make us very positive in terms of expectation. That company, you see, PayCon is absolutely the carbon copy of Fila. The fact that they are performing better than Dixon is because they have not suffered the problem that we had last year in terms of service, and probably in this moment they are more motivated because they see the integration going in their favor. So PayCon in this moment is really a sophisticated machine working with very high cash generation, very low working capital. There is no reason why Dixon will not end up in the same situation next year. So you can understand we have a lot of space to generate cash from a better management of working capital. We have important cost synergies also at the sales level. We have just analyzed our commission agent organization. We have found a lot of overlap. So we have already started terminating some of them because they were doing exactly the same job with the same customers. So the more clear numbers, I think we engage ourselves to communicate before the capital increase. But frankly speaking, I can express, a very strong positive feeling on the combination of Paycom and Dixon, because we in this moment the management of Paycom that has a very strong image in the market is taking over the merge, and the customer are reacting in a very positive way. So and of course, the cost savings that we communicated during the meeting of the 8th of May are fully confirmed in this moment.
Okay, thanks so much.
The next question comes from Moshe Daniel of Polar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. A few questions from me, please. Just first on the capital raise, just wondering, can you give a bit more idea on timing of that? And also, I remember during the time of the Paycom acquisition announcement, you said up to 100 million. And looking at your net debt position, it is quite high. Do you still see it being 100 million? Second question I wanted to have is just a bit more breakdown on the exceptionals. I think you said if 4 million was to do from M&A, but if you can provide more breakdown in terms of the stock options as well. And then lastly, just on Paycom, I know you gave the H1 revenue and sales number. Can you say what the comparison was in 2017 for Paycom, or looking at for the full year, can you give guidance on what you expect sales and EBITDA for Paycom to be standalone for its full year? That would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, Stefano, can you please answer the first two questions and then I will answer the third one on Paycom?
Yes, just only to say that we cannot provide any comparison to Paycom data, but Massimo then will anyway will say something about Paycom if you need. About the capital increase, the question, if I well understood, because the line was a little busy, you just asked confirmation if the amount is 100 million and the timing. Because the timing, I can confirm that, as you know, it's quite a long and challenging process. So we expect to conclude this process in the second half of 2018, so within the second half of 2018, the end of second half 2018. So the plan is this one, and I think that we are working for this. The amount is yes, I confirm that it is 100 million. Is the one that we are going. We approved. And about the exceptional items, if I understood your question, let's say that the big amount is for 8.6 million is related to M&A cost. We had advisory cost for M&A for the financing. We had the legal cost for the merger agreement and all the agreements related to the acquisition. We had cost related to the due diligence. We had cost related also to the fairness opinion related to this process. So all these kind of costs make 8.5 million, then 9.6 million. Then we have some restructuring costs, let's say for 101 million. I'm just rounding this amount because, as you know, we are continuing doing reorganization around the world. And so we are merging and we are recognizing all the companies around the world, especially where we have 2-3 companies in different countries, in the same country, sorry. And the share breakeven costs are 250,000 euro. Let's say that the yearly amount is more or less 500,000 euro.
Great, thank
you. Make the total amount.
And
of course, we have also the IFRS 15 amount. It is 200,000 euro. This is referred to the the first adoption of IFRS 15 for the reclassification of financial discount as a commercial discount.
Okay. And can I just confirm on the raise, did you say end likely, given the complex process, end of 2018 for the capital raise? Is that right?
Yes.
Concerning your question about Paycon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, concerning your question about Paycon, so we have been reluctant to give too many information, because their numbers are not audited. Let's say that we are confident that their numbers are absolutely accurate, but I fully respect the position of Mr. De Rosa, saying that as we did not have control, we prefer to be, conservative. Said that, after a long due diligence process, what we have bought is something around $39 million. These $39 million were, the problem is that the $39 million of Paycon were made by the combination of $36 million made by Paycon and $3 million made by an acquisition of a very significant fine art leader in the United States called Princeton, which is the number one company for brushes, that happened during our acquisition process. So they have combined the number one in paper with the number one in brushes. So in order to analyze Apple with Apple, we should know the EBITDA as of June 2017 of the entity they have bought, which was a family company. So I think that it would not be fair to discuss in detail those numbers. But what you can easily see is that the growth of Paycon this year is a high single digit if we pro forma the EBITDA of the company that they have acquired. So if we make an estimation of what they have acquired.
Mm-hmm.
What we expect at the end of this year is that they will be a touch above $40 million.
Okay, thank you. And can I just ask one additional question, just on energy costs, been picking up a lot of inflation in terms of energy costs, and yours were down in the half. So I was just wondering, that would seem very impressive. Just wondering if you could comment on any trends you're seeing in energy costs.
Yeah, sorry if I expand your comment. Because I didn't mention this earlier, but I think it's important for all the participants. During the, let's say, between the first and the second quarter 2018, we have experienced an unprecedented growth of raw material cost. It's many years we have not seen such an increase. And as you can imagine, we have reflected a lot about to apply our price increase. And at the end, we have decided to pass the price increase starting January 2019, because In the United States, we have gone through service problem last year. In Europe, we have gone through the reorganization of the central warehouse and SAP. So we said that we prefer to have a smooth approach with our customers. What does it mean, this? It means that despite this cost increase, our margin are looking positive. EBITDA in percentage versus turnover is still improving. I think this is a good sign. Please remember that the cellulose is high as it has ever been in the last 5-6 years, and this regard paper, but also chemicals, and this regard leads and inks are growing very fast, and also the plastic, so the polypropylene. Plastic is related to oil. As everybody knows, oil has grown a lot in the last, let's say, from February until April, May. Despite, clearly, this cost increase are a little bit affecting our EBITDA in the first semester. Despite this, we have been able to achieve a good performance, but we are already announcing price increase to customers, and I can tell you they will take, because it's the tradition of our business that they accept a price increase when they are justified, and this year they are more than justified. Simply, this will start to have an effect from January 2019.
Great. And also, the comment you made on Walmart having delays with their systems, does that mean that this will negatively affect you selling into one of your largest customers in the back to school season? Or do you expect to recover it in the rest of Q3?
I was answering to a specific question that was asking me June and July. Mm-hmm. So if the questions were, is the third semester will be affected? No, the answer would have been no. But okay. As the request was June, July, we had a very big order of $3 million. That unfortunately we are ready to ship for more than 1 month, and for internal organization problem of Walmart, they have not yet authorized us to ship, and this happened this morning. So today, tomorrow, in a couple of days, we are going to ship everything, and clearly this has affected July. Fortunately, the big sales of the back to school in United States are going to start from next weekend for the next 10-15 days. So we should be on time with the sell-in, thus hopefully the sell-out. These things unfortunately happen, and they made a mistake because they wanted specific SKU for them. And in the POs they sent to us, they have put the wrong items in terms of quantities, size, and so on. So we have lost 1 month. Unfortunately, 1 month in July is not 1 month in October for us, because we are talking of back to school. Fortunately, we have solved this issue, and this morning we are going to ship. But we have not invoiced in July, but in August.
Great, thank you. That's it for me. Thanks, guys, and have a great weekend.
The last question comes from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, very quick on the seasonality of Paycon. So basically, just to understand if the first half is a similar term of sales and profitability to the second half of the business. Thank you.
Alessandro, Paycon is the copy paper of Fila. So the seasonality that you should consider, I think when we met last time, I think I explained to you that last year, 2017, is not a good example of how our business is divided. I think it's more fair to consider 51% the first semester and 49% the second semester, while last year it was 54% the first semester and 46% the second semester. Paycon is absolutely aligned with this seasonality. The 51% that they should have made, Stefano, can you remember me what they did in their EBITDA at the end of June?
It's 20 million.
No, it was 20.7, I think, 20.6, 20.7.
20.6, exactly.
20.7. So 51% of 20.7 represents correctly a good projection of what they are going to do at the end of the year.
Okay, very, very clear. Thank you.
There is no question booked at the moment.
Okay, Matteo, do you want to have a final comment?
No, I don't have I don't have final comment.
Okay, so we can thank everybody, I think, and have a great weekend and good holidays.
Of course, I wish everybody good nice holidays.
Okay, bye bye, thank you.